comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, jitterymonkey.com. My name is Greg Mahochko, and normally about this time I'd say to my right is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, but Mike's not here this week. We usually record on a Friday or Saturday night, typically depending on what schedule works best. Last weekend, Mike was in Kansas City with his family, which is perfectly fine. I was pretty busy last weekend myself. I was actually available Friday night, so it's really all Mike's fault that we didn't have a new episode. So you can send your hate tweets to @MikeRLuther on Twitter and let him feel the love. Say, you know what, damn it, I needed a Nerds United episode and I didn't get it. Well, you're going to get it now. I am excited for this weekend for a multitude of reasons. Largely, I get to see some of my podcasting buddies. Kevin Huntsberger. Sorry, Kevin. It just didn't roll off the tongue there. That sounded awkward. Kevin Huntsberger, Chad Smart, and I will be down at Cape Comic-Con. It is the event that has been a year in the making. Really the only thing going on this weekend that has been building up anticipation for a year. I can't think of anything else going on this weekend that we've been looking forward to for about 12 months now. Cape Comic-Con, this is it. I'm excited to go back down there for what is my... Hold on, I gotta do the math. 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. This is my sixth year going down to Cape Girardeau, Missouri for Cape Comic-Con. If you are in southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, western Kentucky, or you don't mind a little drive, head on over to SEMO. You can go to cape-con.com for all of the location, address, details, things like that. There have been years that I've gone down there and stayed at a hotel. There have been years that I've gone down there and crashed on a couch at a friend's house. There have been years that I've gone down there, had a lot of fun on a Saturday, and driven home. It all just depends on what you're in the mood for, but there's a lot going on. I'm not going to run down the entire schedule of everything going on at Cape Comic-Con, but I will highlight some of the guests, some of the names that they will have. Some of these names are back. You know, they're returning names. Names like Butch Patrick, who you may remember as Eddie Munster. And he's actually going to have... I'm sorry, Butch, and also Cape Comic-Con coordinator Ken Murphy. I can't remember the name of the Munster's vehicle, but it's probably the Munster Mobile. No, it's probably... That's too easy. But anyway, that vehicle will be available on site for pictures and things like that. They will have some of the original cast of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, like Walter Jones, who was the Mastodon, if I remember correctly, Mastodon or Mammoth. Anyway, they will have Karen Ashley, who's, I believe, not the original yellow Power Ranger, but maybe the second generation Power Ranger. They'll also have Zordon. David Fielding will be at Cape Comic-Con. They're going to have a voice talent, a voice actress by the name of Veronica Taylor, who's been in Pokemon, Sailor Moon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And because over the last few years, especially, Cape Comic-Con has really become, I don't know if synonymous is the right word, but it's also the biggest weekend at Cape Championship Wrestling, CCW. There's typically a lot of wrestling interaction. Road Warrior Animal. That's right. One of the two really original, most fans remember probably the two key members of Legion of Doom or the Road Warriors, depending on where you caught them. Road Warrior Animal will be down, not just at Cape Comic-Con, but at Cape Championship Wrestling as well. The reason I mentioned that that's just a part of it. And the fact that all of those, celebrities, Greg Land, Marvel Comics artist, is going to be there as well. I'm excited to see him again. I met him a few years ago and got an autograph on a special Cape Comic-Con edition, special variant cover of a comic book. So excited to see him. But the reason I bring up the special guest is you go there for the guest, but in my opinion, you really stay for... all of the vendors that are there. And there are a lot of really awesome vendors, from indie comics, things like that. Maybe names that you might not be as familiar with. And you can, again, go... This is what I love about the Cape Comic-Con. And unfortunately, it's the only Comic-Con I've ever been to, even though I live close to St. Louis and could go to Wizard World, except that's expensive. And the really awesome thing about Cape Comic-Con, and I talked with Ken Murphy about this at length after last year's con. We got together and recorded an episode for the show. They keep the price point to where you can bring the entire family and not break the bank. And that's important to Ken as a coordinator, as an organizer, to me as someone, who my family has gone before. This is actually going to be, my son is three, and he's been to, all three Cape Comic-Cons that have taken place in his life. This is the first one that he's not going to be going to, and I'll tell you about that here in a minute. But the price point is important because they're not, pricing anybody out, of the show. It's really fantastic, really a great family and family-friendly event in an area that I've lived. I lived in Cape Girardeau, and you hear this in a lot of places that aren't, like the St. Louis's, the Chicago's, the Indianapolis's, Los Angeles's, and New York's, that, there's nothing to do in our little town, blah, blah, blah. This is something that, you see nerds from all generations, all walks of life at Cape Con. It's really fantastic to see, and you see entire families going over there. Everybody's having a blast. I love supporting some of the vendors that are there, because if you think about it, again, you might have some writers and some authors and some artists and things like that, but you have people at the show who have businesses, and maybe they're closing their brick-and-mortar store to be able to, bring some items out, or, be it, some comic books, maybe, long boxes of books, or, things like that, or there's a few bakery-type places that are there every year, like Cakes Reanimated or the Corner Grocery that has gourmet candies. And they close the doors of their shop for the weekend to come out and be a part of Cape Comic-Con. So it's really important to support them because they're, supporting, they're being part of the fun of the weekend that is Cape Comic-Con. That's one of the reasons that I really enjoy going down there. And I get to, as I mentioned, see friends. I'm like, not just the Jittery Monkey podcast family, although we're not even on the website. What is going on? let me see. Oh, there we are. I had full disclosure. This was Chad Smart, who hosts Positive Cynicism. It was his idea. And Kevin Huntsberger, the host of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, got the ball rolling on it. So when you go into vendors, you can't look for Jittery Monkey. It's under My 1-2-3 Cents. See, that's that branding thing that Kevin keeps learning about, and it's also why his show's a success. He's done 230 or so, Mondays that have gone by with a new episode each week. We're not quite that regular. We need to eat more fiber on Nerds United, then we'll be a little bit more regular. But looking forward to them. We're going to have a table. We're going to have some merchandise, and we can tell you, and I can probably tell you now, but anybody who wants a shirt or something like that and potentially even save a little bit of money, not have to carry it around, they can go to jitterymonkey.com/shop this weekend, and there will be a nice little sale going on. I believe it's 20% off of everything, and it's happening starting Thursday the 25th. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, it's going to be the next day. I think it's going the 25th through the 29th. We'll share that information as we get a little bit, you know, closer to the weekend. But look forward to visiting with Chad, visiting with Kevin. We're going to be doing some recordings right there at the table. And I know that Chad's lining up a few people to talk to. I think Kevin's lining up a few people to talk to. And I'm just along for the ride. I started this podcast network. I brought them all along. I'm just going on for the ride. Perfectly all right with that. That makes me happy. I love that, you know, they're taking hands-on roles. And Kevin is excited because he was at the Midwestern Marketing Conference or Mass Marketing Conference or something last week, and he's going to share some tips and things with that of how we can get Jittery Monkey out there a little bit more. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a bit of a learning experience for me. We're going to have a lot of fun. And overall, just the weekend in totality is going to be fantastic. On Friday night, my wife and I are taking our son to Grandma and Grandpa's for the evening. And we're going to take in an early show, because it is a three-hour movie. We're going to take in an early show of Avengers Endgame. Going to be 5:30. We're excited. Mike, of course, is also going to go to a show at a different theater at a different time Friday night. And then we're just going to have some fun spoiling the movie randomly over the weekend on Facebook and Twitter. So don't unfriend us or unfollow us or anything like that. Unlike the page, none of the spoilers that we actually give on. Here's how I know if you're listening or not. We're going to have fun with the spoilers. They're not really going to be spoilers for the movie. We're just, you know, I've got a couple in my mind already that I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm like, oh, this will be fun to throw out there as a spoiler. But it's not really going to be a spoiler because I haven't seen the movie. And I'm not going to spoil anything on social media anyway because that's just foolish. Mike is gung-ho, ready to go, ready to spoil the movie on the next episode. But that'll at least give you, the listener, a week or so to, you know, go to check out the show. I do think it's funny that there's not going to be an intermission for a three-hour movie. I don't really require one. I don't have a baby bladder, but, you know, some people do, and that's all right. It's also hilarious that this movie, at 3 hours and 2 minutes long, is longer than the initial tour of the SS Minnow in Gilligan's Island. We all remember that was supposed to be a three-hour tour. I'm old. Shut up. looking very much forward to Avengers Endgame. I heard something. It's well documented. I'm a big Kevin Smith fan, and now that he's back, done filming Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which I'm looking forward to seeing when it becomes available. He's back in Los Angeles, and he's doing the Hollywood Babylon shows again, and I was listening to this week's. It's the first one that they've done in front of an audience in a while, and Gotham is wrapping up, and I haven't watched Gotham since about a season and a half into the run of the series. Some of the things that they were saying about this last season have kind of got me curious, and I almost want to go back, you know, when it's all said and done, and maybe pick it up in the last season or so and see, you know, the final transformation of their version of the Joker, as well as, you know, I believe the series finale is going to be, you know, 10 years later, and, you know, Bruce Wayne has come back. Obviously, it's an older Bruce Wayne, and he's going to come back as Batman and start kicking butt and doing, you know, what Batman does. So I'm looking forward to that. The one show, my DVR is just full of, I don't know, a new episode of The Flash was starting tonight as my son and I got home from running a few errands, and they were talking about, you know, if you watch The Flash, you know that the beginning of every episode is my name is Barry Allen, and, you know, I was struck by lightning, and I can run fast, and with the help of my friends at Star Labs, we, you know, I think this one says we track down other metahumans and fight crime. And then he started talking about, but when my daughter came back from the future, it really, you know, started turning everything, you know, as crazy as it's ever been in Central City. I'm like, wait a minute. That's how far out I am of watching the show is he's got a daughter. I mean, I know he and Iris are married, and I'm sure one thing leads to another, as it does most of the time. But I'm like, wait a minute. He's got a daughter? So the more I think about that, I'm like, wow, I'm so far behind on that show. Behind on Arrow, but I kind of gave up on Arrow. Just like Stephen Amell did, gave up on Arrow. Don't get me started on the Winchester Boys over Supernatural, because I thought that show needed to end about 5-7 years ago. It became exceptionally repetitive. But there was one show. Oh, and Walking Dead's probably 2 years behind. However, one show came back into our lives for its final season a week and a half ago, and I am just so overjoyed that Game of Thrones is back, and I will be so sad in 4 more episodes when the show is over. This is weird. It's their final season. I think it's their 8th season, and it's only 6 episodes. I was looking at, you know, what they were saying the run times were going to be for, you know, the last couple of episodes, and they're like, you know, 80, 90 minutes. They're little mini movies, and I'm excited about that, and it just goes to show that the story that they're telling, they probably don't have a natural break where they, you know, what could have been, you know, an 8-episode or maybe even 10-episode season, probably 8, but they're like, no, we can't break it up. This is how it's got to be formatted, and we don't want to cut, you know, during the middle of an action sequence or an important conversation or something like that. So just really, really weird that it's only 6 episodes, but I'm thrilled so far. And this is an actual official spoiler if you don't want to hear what I'm about to say, then skip forward a minute or two. If you don't watch Game of Thrones and you're just like, get on to something else, bear with me. But, of course, we found out at the end of season 7, at the end of the last season, which was, gosh, almost 2 years ago, we found out officially who Jon Snow's parents are. And in the season premiere a week and a half ago, Jon Snow found out who his parents are. And in this past week's episode, Jon Snow told Daenerys Targaryen who his parents are, and of course, you know, they're in love, or, you know, allegedly, or I think they loved each other a lot more before they found out they were related, spoiler, but yeah, she is in fact his auntie, if I'm pronouncing that right, and she didn't seem nearly as concerned about the fact that she had been bedding her nephew as much as she says, well, if this is all true, then you have the natural claim to the Iron Throne. And she looked disgusted by the fact that, like, how are you going to be challenging me for my power, you know, or for my, you know, what I've been working for all this time. And you don't really ever get the sense from Jon Snow that he ever wanted that type of responsibility. So I'm really excited to see where these next and last 4 episodes go. It's going to get crazy. And I don't talk to a lot of Game of Thrones people. I don't communicate with them online or anything like that, but I have yet to meet a single person who likes and or identifies with Cersei Lannister. If every other character was wiped off, or if every other character was saved, but she was wiped off the face of Westeros, I would consider it a happy ending. She has caused more trouble than anything, and her scheming and her fighting to stay in power and keep those that she loved in power are kind of the reason for most of the headaches that they have in Westeros. So if she goes bye-bye, I'd be all right with that. Would not complain. That's really my Game of Thrones recap. There are other things that a lot of people took to social media on Monday morning to voice opinions about Arya Stark and the big scene that she had. She's had bigger scenes. You know, Maisie Williams as the actress and Arya Stark as the character have had bigger more impactful scenes, I thought, than, you know, her first time bedding a gent. I just was like, wow, it's been however many years since they started filming, but, you know, I'm going back and watching from the beginning, and I'm a little late. You know, ideally I'd watch it all finish, you know, season 7 before season 8 started, but I wasn't that motivated to do so until a couple weeks ago, so here we are. But, you know, she's just a kid, and now all of a sudden, you know, she's, you know, a young, confident woman, and she's like, well, you know, here's the thing, we're probably going to die. You hear it a lot more in like, 80s and 90s slasher, you know, teen slasher movies, like, oh, we're probably going to die, don't want to die a virgin. You game, I'm game, let's go. And we only got 10 minutes. I only need 3. You know, whatever, that type of thing. You know, if it was those, you know, slasher movies, we're probably going to die. That's okay. What a way to go. I don't know. So that was unexpected, at least on my end. I was not expecting that scene. But look at her go as the character has really grown and evolved. I still think, though, that Tyrion Lannister's one of my favorite characters, and his evolution and maturation throughout the course of the series, and what he means to some of the pivotal players on that show. Peter Dinklage is just fantastic. So I think that's my Game of Thrones conversation for now. Avengers Endgame, we've talked a little bit about it. I am so pumped for Friday. This is, you know, I joked at the beginning, you know, that it's more than a year of anticipation. This is 11 years, really, in the making, ever since Nick Fury was sitting on Tony Stark's couch and saying, I'd like to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. Then, of course, we get the Avengers, and we see Thanos in, you know, briefly in Avengers, and it's just built up. We got a lot of Thanos in that last movie, and I'm excited to see Thanos go down. I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, I don't know, obviously, how the movie ends. I know that, you know, Spider-Man seems to probably need to come back since he's got a movie coming out this summer. Black Panthers are, you know, they're making a Black Panther 2, and unless it stars Shuri, and they do away with Chadwick Boseman. I hope that's right. I'm fairly certain it's right. Black Panther. This is going to drive me nuts. And I hate Googling things while I'm talking to you, the listener. Yeah, Chadwick Boseman. Don't ask. Anyway, excited, you know, for his movie to come back. I actually just watched Black Panther again. I don't know if it was late last week. I think it was late last week. And just enjoy that movie very much. I'll say this about Killmonger and how it ties into Mike and I's last episode where we talked about Shazam. Killmonger and Dr. Savannah are, I think, two of the most compelling comic book movie adaptation villains that we've come across. And I think their motivations, that's the right word, I think, motivations are as good as any, you know, or probably better than any villain that we've seen. You could say that Thanos, you know, he's like, well, you know, either everybody dies or, you know, half the people die. I don't know. I think that's kind of a weak argument, straw man theory type. But, you know, Dr. Savannah, in most recent memory, who we just talked about, I think he even has a line in the movie where he's like, how would you feel if you spent your entire life, you know, after being told you weren't good enough? You know, and that's very motivating. And then, of course, Killmonger, you know, Eric Killmonger, or Jones, I don't know, that's not his name, but I'll just call him Killmonger. That's what he, you know, was referred to in his time in the, you know, U.S. military, again, the fictional character. you know, he comes upstairs after playing ball, you know, in the park, comes upstairs and sees his dad dead, and, you know, the claw marks, realizes, I mean, he's got the inner lip glowy tattoo, so he knows a little bit about his own history, and it's just all, you know, working back to his homeland to, you know, say, hey, you know what, he made some very valid points, and you know, about you have the technology, you can help people, you can do more than just hide in Wakanda. So his arguments came from a logical place of helping people. Maybe his methodology wasn't the best, but his reasoning behind the method I thought was sound. And then Dr. Savannah, you know, jealousy, yes, but, you know, he had to deal his whole life after being, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, being told that he wasn't good enough, and, you know, that would strain about anybody. So, anyway, just a fun little note there that I thought of. As far as I know, that movie's still doing very well. Hellboy, we didn't talk about this last time out. It debuted the same day, actually, that I went to the movie to see Shazam. I haven't heard anything bad about it. I haven't heard, you know, talk to anybody who's really been to see Hellboy. I like Hellboy as a character. I have several, you know, trade paperbacks or graphic novels, however you want to categorize them. And I really enjoy the character. I'll check out the movie. I feel bad that it's, you know, did so poorly, you know, at the box office. But I think coming out a week after Shazam and right in that period, it suffered from a little bit of the... there was a movie, I think, last year that came out between Avengers and another big title. Maybe not last year, maybe it was within the last couple of years. And it suffered from, you know, poor box office performance. But I think it was just because of the timing of it. If it wasn't smack dab in the middle of a big DC movie and a mega Marvel movie, I think it would stand up a little bit better, but it also is rated R. It's a hard R, and more of a horror movie, which when it's an R-rated movie, you lose a lot of the, you know, comic book audience that's not old enough to go to an R-rated movie. So, I don't know, maybe something to possibly adjust, or maybe, you know, it gets that cult following. I don't believe that the latest Judge Dredd movie starring Carl Urban did very well in theaters, critically acclaimed. And I've seen it, and it's, you know, it's got cult status. So maybe that's where Hellboy will fall, you know, this rendition of it. So I don't really have a whole lot for you this week. I think I've talked a little bit more than I intended to. Big thing is Avengers Endgame. We're going to put up fake spoilers all weekend long. Don't take them seriously. But if you get a kick out of it, share it, like it, comment, call bullshit, whatever you want to do. Hopefully, if you're in Southeast Missouri, Southern Illinois, or Western Kentucky, or Western Tennessee, or Arkansas, I don't know how far people will drive for good entertainment. Anyway, come to Cape Comic-Con this weekend. It is, so we're, you know, because I know Chad says that time is relevant in podcast land, but it is the 26th, 27th, 28th of April 2019. See myself, Chad, Kevin. Mike might even make a trip down. And if he does, I'm sure he's probably going to want to spoil Avengers Endgame just right there on the com floor, and he'll get beat up. He will get beat up if he just starts shouting things like, I'm not going to say I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what any spoilers would be. But I just know that he'd get beat up, and it'd be really embarrassing to get beaten up at a Comic-Con by a bunch of nerds. That's all I can say. But come see us. I myself will be down there on Saturday. I know Chad and Kevin are heading over there to set up a little bit on Friday. I think Kevin's going to be hanging out a little Friday, and then they'll both be there on Sunday. But my family, you know, aside from going to the movie on Friday night, I'm looking forward to spending time with my family on Sunday. Comic-Con's always great, but it does take time away from my family, and right now time with my family is kind of at a premium until my wife finishes up with school and gets a normal job. So that's it for this episode. Episode, I don't even know the number, and that's okay. For my absentee co-host of the year, Mike Luther, my name is Greg Mahochko, and we remind you to be kind, and in Mike's absence, yes, I get to say, rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.